So, you know, we're doing a series about expanding in God. My message today is boldly forward. And the text I'm using comes from Hebrews 10. I'm using the ESV. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Lord God, we need you. You have called us to build your church, not New Covenant Community Church, though that is where you have placed us. We are here to build your church, to glorify your name, and to bring you honor. Lord, you tell us repeatedly through the scriptures that as we keep our eyes on you and the work that you did on the cross, Jesus, we realize the freedom and the joy that comes from taking focus off of our lives and placing it on yours and how we can bless other people. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that your word tells us we need to meet together. That's how the church grows. That's how we encourage one another. Let us hold on to you, Lord, without wavering. Just pray that you would speak to us today, Lord. In your name, amen. So, a couple years ago, you may have remembered, we had a friend of mine from Copenhagen spoke, Jay Misek. I can't remember. I think he had a slide about one of the windmills that fell over, because up in Jefferson in Lewis County, when we lived up there, man, there's windmills. I mean, with the house we rented for the last year, we could look out at night and you could see 75 windmills. And that was kind of cool. So I'm coming, ready to come here into the service, and I get a text. And Jay says, "Good morning. God put you on my heart this morning, so I have been praying for you in your church service this morning. Then I came across this verse in my reading a few minutes ago. This is my prayer for you today. Have a blessed day. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Psalm 19:14. See, that's what church is. Where a friend happened to be thinking of me, and God gave him a verse, prophetically used God's word, and he sent it to me. So why am I saying that? A lot of times as we look at different abilities and different things, you know, we look at people who are front and center. There's a quarterback you might have heard of named Tom Brady, who was the center on the New England Patriots when they won the first Super Bowl. We don't know. Why? Center's this big old blob of a guy that blocks so he doesn't get cremated. If you don't have a good offensive line, guess what? You turn into wormwood and you get hurt. So we look at the people that get all the glory. So what I'm saying to you is, as God does this to you, hey, I'm thinking about this person. Pray for them and just let them know I'm praying for you. Or maybe God tells you, hey, you know what? I think I got to cook a meal for them. And I'm sure God's speaking a bunch of you about making a pie that's blueberry for your pastor. I get it. Just listen to the Lord, will you please? So what am I saying? Church, we're in a season where God is saying, we're moving forward. And here's the glorious thing. He's saying, you're going to quit thinking about yourself. Now, I got to tell you something. I love me some me. It's hard for me not to think of me. And wouldn't you have a hard time if you're in my shoes? I get it. I'm not looking at my wife, who's probably rolling her eyes, but you know what the freedom is? I said, my wife, not you, Sue Bakers. You know what the freedom is? When God says, I got you, man. Don't worry about yourself. I want you to bless others. Sometimes when I've been in the worst places in my life, depression-wise or whatever, God moves and I start reaching out to other people. And I read somewhere, give and you shall receive. So what are we talking about today? We're going to be strengthened together. We're going to move forward with everything that God has for us because of what Jesus Christ did. And what Hebrews 10 tells us is the veil is gone. The Old Testament worshiper never went into the Holy of Holies. The priest did once a year. There's a thick veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. It was a barrier between God and man. So Jesus goes to the cross and gets crucified. What happens? And the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. I like what Warren Wiersbe says. Only the death of Christ could tear that veil and open the way into the heavenly sanctuary where God dwells. That's what Jesus said. It is finished. The veil was ripped. God is saying, come on in. I don't pray to saints. I don't pray to nobody but God in Jesus' name. I have a personal relationship with God. And what is God saying is, you know, the veil is gone. We have a relationship with God. It's not religious. And it's not there's an old way versus a new way. There was the old way, it's the new way versus no way. The only new way is coming to the presence of God through relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no other way to have relationship with God. But I believe in this religion. You have the freedom to do that, and I will fight for your freedom, but it can't bring you heaven. Because Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Hey, New Covenant believers, we are the new way. We are in the new way. The old system of relying on our actions is gone. Because it's by faith you've been saved, not by works, so that no man may boast. If you haven't sinned in the last 72 hours, raise your hand. You can pray for my wife and I, because my daughter is due today with her baby. If it doesn't come, they're doing a C-section Tuesday. So from tomorrow to Thursday, we're going to be up there babysitting, which is great because I love my grandson, but that boy has energy. I got some sedatives I'm taking with me. But it's a new life. I don't have to train that 2.5-year-old kid not to do what he shouldn't be doing. Why? It's ingrained in us by the Adam and Eve sin. The sin, we have a nature that is separate from God. But what Jesus died for us, when I accept him, I get the new nature. I have the Holy Spirit. And it's by faith that I've been saved. I know. I'm going to be driving up Route 3 tomorrow. I get off 104. I go through Port Ontario, whatever they call it, and I know it's going to happen. I am going to get behind somebody that loves to go 53 miles an hour. And I'm going to finally get a straightaway, and there's going to be cars coming so I can't pass. And I will patiently and lovingly be an amazing example of just grace. Oh, but then when I see an opening, baby, I take it. I drive carefully. So, what am I saying? Sometimes when I drive, I'm not the best example of a Christian, but I'm working on it, okay? You know, Memorial Day always has interesting memories for me. First of all, because I used to clip cemetery gravestones at Morrisville Community Cemetery by hand for 2 weekends ahead of time, and that was torture. But I also had a friend, an elderly gentleman, who was in World War II. PTSD, turned him into an alcoholic. It was terrible. Memorial Day brought back all of the old memories. Praise God. At the end of his life, he said yes to Jesus. But I watched this friend go through hell. And I watched what he did to families that would fall apart. Jesus can remove that stain. Jesus can remove that pain. You know, I'm looking at these verses and I'm looking at the future and I'm anticipating our impact on Oswego, New York. You know, I shared last week, it was a tough week for me because I felt bad for my daughter because I shared last week one of her students that she had for three classes was 16 years old and he died. I don't know how. They think he might have hit his head. It wasn't a car accident. So she had to tell her class about it, and it's a very emotional week at Indian River, and just a 16-year-old boy. What if he didn't know Jesus? He's in hell forever. That has to be our heart. That is why we exist, to share the love of Jesus Christ, to understand the veil is gone. And I want to encourage you, you are all gifted, you are all empowered by the Holy Spirit with relationship with Christ. And God is saying, it's time to move forward. But I'm in pain, I have this, I have that. Yes, you do. Jesus says, lay it aside. Let me use you. Let me use you to text the pastor at 9:30 in the morning to encourage him. Let me use you to reach out to somebody else. Let's move boldly forward and know that God has given us grace and he's given us strength. We are not here to build a name for New Covenant Community Church. I am not into PR. Maybe we should do more of that. I get it. I'm here so that people know Jesus Christ. I know what he did for me. I know that the veil is gone. I remember August 10th, 1979, when I gave my life to Christ, having been a non-churched person my whole life, and when I understood I was going to heaven and he forgave me, which was really hard because I can't forgive myself about stuff, I just remember the freedom I had. I want to take other people with me. I want God to use my personality in a way that I can reach out. And God is telling you, come on, it's time to get involved. And let's be honest, the older you get, the less energy you have for the most part. Okay, but it doesn't take away the call. God just gives you a different game plan. You know what? We have an open invitation. Verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurances of faith. You're not guilty any longer if you have Jesus Christ. That doesn't give you freedom to live however you want to. My friend wasn't able to shake the horrors of his past. I remember visiting in the hospital. He was dying of lung cancer. He's smoking. What's it going to do? Kill me? I didn't say anything. Just hung out with him. We played bingo together. But at the end, man, by his stripes, my friend was healed and accepted Jesus Christ. This message is about salvation. But it's more, you don't just get saved and that's it. As Pastor Pete Southcott used to say, if that was it, we'd have a Bible in one hand and a pistol in the other. You like Jesus? Good, meet him. Boom. We're here to grow. We're here to, you know, Hebrews says, you're still drinking milk, you should be eating meat. God, we're, church, for us to get where we're going, and this is going to happen, we need you. Oh my goodness gracious, you don't want to rely on me? If you do, you're full. Let's rely on Christ. I love watching sports on TV. I love watching the NHL, National Hockey League. It was a hard week for me, too. Next game, the Knicks got beat and the Bruins got beat Sunday afternoon. It's been a hard week for me, but I love watching the NHL. I love the action. I love watching the goalies. I played hockey for 3 years before I started playing hoops. But I just love seeing other teams. And what you see this time of year is the teams that know how to play to their strength. The people that are more enforcers, they're more physical, and they intimidate the other team. They don't try to score 100 goals because they know that's not my gift. Or I'm going to play defense. You know, you see the teams that sometimes they have all these fantastic players, superstars. How far do they get a lot of times? Because you get teams that, okay, I'm just going to play. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Well, I'm going to do what the team calls me to do. Maybe I'm a defenseman. Maybe I'm a left winger. Maybe I'm on the third team. I'm not going to complain about my minutes. I'm not complaining that I'm not on Sports Illustrated. I'm just going to do what I'm called to do. We're all on the same team. Maybe God has called you to be a goalie. You're going to have a mask over your face the whole time. Ain't nobody going to see what you look like, except when it goes behind you, the big score. Well, maybe you're going to be the superstar center. Okay, that's cool. But let's be who God has called us to be. We're all on the same team. And I want to tell you what, having been in ministry 37 years, I'm going to tell you, the people that make an impact on people are the everyday people that nonchalantly and quietly minister and talk to other people. Those are the testimonies I hear about. People, why do we need to share the gospel? People expect it from me. I'm a pastor. But when you go up and encourage somebody or you go up and share with them, man, God's open. He opens it right up. There's a song you might have heard, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Jesus Christ died on that cross for you and for me. You got to be perfect to get into heaven. You have to be purer than the whitest of snow. And you can't do that by your actions. The only way I did that when I said, I'm a sinner, God. Jesus is your son. He died for my sins. Forgive me. Come into my life, and I'm going to live for you. What does that mean, Pastor? I live the best I can according to the Bible. It's not by works that we're saved, but our lives have to show that we are saved, that we are called to do good deeds. That's why we support ministries like the Family Resource Center, who people sacrificially give to speak life to a community that has women that are pregnant and they're struggling. What choice do I make? And they lovingly minister and they lovingly point people to life. Scripture tells me, God says, I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. I've shared the story before, man. I was an oops baby. Maybe Taney and Janet were taken by surprise, but God wasn't. He had a call for my life. And you can all say amen. And some of you even meant it. Thank you very much. So what am I saying? You're here on purpose. Well, I'm more of an introvert. Okay. Then God doesn't want to use you. Oh, wait, maybe he made you an introvert on purpose so that you can relate to other people. Maybe right now you're going through a hard time. I'm going to use this example again because she's not here. Debbie Grubman, we all know 4 years ago her husband Ed died. And she's talking about meet with Mel and I, going through a hard time, going through depression. But she said, but I know God is going to use this so that I can minister to people in the future. What did she do? She took her life when it was the darkest, and she looked to the cross, and she said, this hurts, but I'm going to use it for the glory of God. Amen. That's how we go forward. We don't wrap up in a ball and look at our hardship. We look at the cross, and one step at a time, we go forward. One step at a time, we go forward and we say, you know what, God, I'm going to use this for your glory. So maybe you're going through a hard time. Praise God, your testimony in the making. God loves you so much and he is so faithful. He is going to bring people into your life that are going through the same exact thing. but you can minister to them. I can't. I've had people tell me to shut up and close the door because I can't relate to the child they have that's sick. But this person in my church could talk to them because they went through that. So God is preparing his church for his glory. That's why I don't get overly excited, I would say, some of you, about politics and all this stuff. How cool is it that God placed us here in this country, in this state, for his glory? Have you seen what happens? No, I see the Bible. I'm not afraid of the culture. I'm not afraid of the politicians. I got Jesus. He's the answer. No hesitation. We're invited to, in this scripture, to draw near. Draw near to God. Make it a habit of spending time with the Lord. Get up early in the morning. Maybe you like me, you like some coffee. Pour a cup and just hang out with God. Some of my best times with God is I don't talk, and neither does he. We just sit there and exist. And I know I have this presence of the Lord. And I know that if I just, because let me tell you about the self. I can have a volatile personality. Shock and horror. In fact, I was talking to this woman I really care about. I married her. She said lovingly, sometimes when you speak, you seem like you're mad. And I am. But not at you guys. I'm mad at what's going on. So sometimes that comes out. And I'm not trying to be a meanie or use this for a bully puppet. But sometimes I get mad at what happens spiritually. So we have no hesitation. We got to draw near to God. We got to hold fast. God is with me in the highs. God is with me in the lows. And I remember a guy named Denny Kramer said once, faith never grows when you're going through a good time. So you want your faith to grow, and you pray, Lord, help my faith to grow. Hang on tight, because he's not going to give you a bucket of sunshine and rainbows. He's going to put you in a place where you're going to see how faithful he is. That's when my faith grows. To consider one another. It says, let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works. I love watching people grow together. I love just seeing people step out little by little. You know, it's like my little grandson, his neighbor has a girl about the same age, and some little remote control Jeep that the father steers, which I'm glad because you know about women driver. Kidding. So this little girl's driving a Jeep, and he just sits there. He wants no part of it. But then he gets into it. He's stoic because it's new. To finally, he's just having a good time because they're going all over the yard in this Jeep. Well, isn't that cool to see together? You see, a young Christian, I remember once I was doing teens, and I said, hey, Joe Schmo, not a real name, I want you to pray for this guy. It's like an eight-second prayer. But you know what he did? He went home and told his mama, I know how to pray. See, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's all about growing together, encouraging one another. That's why I love small groups. I love it when we have people of different ages, and some of the young people are praying, some of the old people are praying, and we're just growing together. Man, that's what church is all about. It's not a select few. It's all of us doing what God wants us to do. And I know that some people are more private than others, but we are called to live this Christian life together. We need to pray, and I'm doing this for our church. How do we reach out to this community? How do we help people? How do we encourage them? Like, you should be praying as you come to church. Lord, who do you want me to bless today? Who, not, oh, Lord, I really have this need. Please touch me. No. God, who do you want me to touch today? No. Who do you want to touch using me today, Lord? That's when you're going to get blessed. Not when you come with your bucket empty, waiting for God to fill it. But when you look to give, then you shall receive. You know, home groups, we do take a break for the summer, which I really have a tough time doing, I got to tell you, because I don't think we need to take a break from Jesus. But what I do want to do is have different activities throughout the summer. You know, one year we did, I think it was last year, an ice cream social, other things. You know, we might if the when the stage gets done, have a movie night. I want you to pray. Maybe God's going to give you an idea. Hey, maybe we could do that this summer. Good. Come and talk to me about it. Just don't lay it at my feet. You know, pull your sleeves up and let's do this. Because God doesn't want us. Okay, May whatever, 29th, we're going to end and we'll start again September 10th. No, it ain't gonna work that way. So the Jews are looking, they looked back. This is why Hebrews talked about moving forward. The Jewish community back then, they liked to look back. This church exists because of Jesus' revolution. That's how we started. That was 50 years ago, people. I don't want a Jesus Revolution church. Why? We're not young hippies. I want what God wants me to do today. I want what God wants us to do now. So the writer of Hebrews is encouraging the believers, don't look back, look ahead. But this worked in the past. Yes, it did. You know what I found out as a pastor? Especially when I was a young senior pastor, I talked to other churches, you're doing what? You're doing this? You're doing what? It's like back when I first started, the program Purpose Driven Life was really popular. So we did it at Copenhagen. Now, the thrust of it was to build your church numerically. But I prayed about it, and I knew God was calling us to grow spiritually. So we did this 40 days of purpose, and it was, you're probably happy I wasn't the pastor here, because they give you what to preach. I preached for an hour one Sunday. I haven't preached for an hour straight. That's the only time in my life. A lot of times that's three sermons for me. So anyways, but you know the coolest thing was, we had this one couple, they loved the outdoors, and they would take summers off. So we did purpose-driven life. Oh, they got on board for Jesus. They got on board. In fact, Keith put the rug down in the sanctuary. It was Keith Rivers, him and his wife, fantastic people. But we did that purpose, and we ministered to the church, and they got on board, and they realized, well, I got a purpose for God. God wants me to serve. You know what I like about Hebrews? If you read the book, there's one common theme is hope. Life isn't hopeless, people. I want to disencourage you. In fact, it says, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let me tell you my end times philosophy. It's coming. Okay? You may disagree. Pre-trib, post-trib. Again, I'm going to tell you what I told Leo Sharp years ago. I don't care, trib. You may tell me you know. I'm going to tell you, you may be wrong. Just like I'm wrong. But I know Jesus is coming back. So that's why I want to love people. I want to love this old alcoholic who accepted Christ just before he died. I want to love like the 16-year-old person. I want to love people with the love of Christ, not so I can tell them my doctrine, but that I can tell them my Jesus. I hope Jesus comes back in 40 seconds, because you know what? Sometimes I'm tired. I want to be with him, but that's not what he's doing. So I'm going to keep my eyes on eternity. I'm going to live intentionally for Jesus Christ. Let's look at these verses in Hebrews and let us go boldly. You see, we're here. Let me do a few things. We're here for the Bible. So we're going to end. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So, Lord Jesus, we come before you right now. We are your church. Lord, you know how selfish I can be, thinking about me all the time. Forgive me. I want to think about you. I want to encourage other people for you. Lord, I was blessed when I opened that text from Jay this morning, that a friend of mine's thinking about me, praying about me. And it's not because I'm a pastor, but it's because we're friends. See, that's what your kingdom is about. How do I encourage? Well, maybe God, one of us is going to be thinking about somebody else today, and it's easy for us to rationalize, I'm not going to do anything. But maybe you're saying, send him a quick text praying for you, man. Lord, we're going to grow together. I am pumped about New Covenant Community Church, that you are calling us to do for you whatever you've called us to do with our lives. That's vague, but what I mean is God, each one of us has a personality given to us by you. That each one of us, every living human being, has a purpose given to us by God. If we don't have a relationship with you through Christ, and if we don't move forward in that, then it won't come to fruition. That's on us. But Lord, we're called to further your kingdom. Not my opinion, and Lord, forgive me, because you've been showing me lately how I furthered my own opinions. But Lord, we're called to further your kingdom. And I pray, Lord, as we look at the summer, we wouldn't just take 3 months off, that we would have church activities that we do. That you would speak to members of the congregation that would bring it to us. Hey, I think God's saying we need to do this. Let us know that's how you work, Lord. I don't believe the church is top down, Lord. Let us know that you have called us. And some of you might be thinking, well, I struggle with this, I struggle with that. Join the club. We all have struggles, but that's where we press on. Without wavering, we press on for Jesus Christ. And I need his grace. I need his strength, because I am going to get tired out if I don't. But he gives me the grace to do whatever he has called me to do. He gives you the grace to do whatever he's called you to do. So I thank you for this congregation, for those that are listening at home. Lord, help us know we are to have thankful hearts. We're to draw near to you. We're to hold fast. And we are to consider one another. Nobody is excluded from this, Lord. You have called and equipped every one of us, Lord. Let us not listen to the lies of the enemy that tries to discourage us. But we are mighty in power because the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in every believer. In my personality, as much as I deal with insecurity, my personality doesn't negate that. Let us say yes and amen, Lord. And Lord, again, I thank you for all of those in the congregation that have served in this military. As we approach Memorial Day, I pray safety over our military personnel, Lord God. And Lord, your word tells us, as far as it is with me, let us be at peace with all people. Forgive us for the debates, for the anger, for the post. Let us be all about the Lord Jesus Christ. In your name, amen. Have a blessed day.